Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Well, hello, everyone. You have once again stumbled upon the three questions with Andy Richter. I guess I'm Andy Richter. And I'm here today with Sabrina Jalice, the very funny stand-up comedian, mom, Canadian.
In that order.
Yeah, right.
I'm a mommy daddy type, baba type lady.
Are you? Are you mommy daddy?
Like, yeah, how like do
you?
Mom, my wife carried the baby.
Yeah.
And I'm like very the person that when I hold the baby, people are like, oh my God, she's so amazing with the baby. So I feel like, you know, male privilege, patriarchy in the matriarchy.
But you don't mind being called mom.
No.
No, no. It's
no,
not.
No, but when I'm like at the park, I love when daddies come up to me and treat me like daddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know this podcast is about honesty. And I just wanted to be really honest right off the top.
No, I know. Well, I actually, the thing that I always hated about being a dad was like the gross dad part of kind of like
pooping on them.
Well, and or like, isn't this bullshit that I have to like
God,
put myself
Andy.
Second, you know? And
it's
I was always
so,
like,
can we say the F word?
Yeah, yeah, of course. You can say whatever
so
you want.
Fucking insane. Like when Shauna was pregnant, there were so many, like, I mean, many men saying to me, like, all right, dude, like, live your life now. Once this baby comes, your life is over.
Yeah.
You know, your wife's not going to want to fuck you.
Yeah.
Your baby doesn't like you. You don't have the milk. And I'm like, well, have you ever thought, like, maybe you suck?
Yeah.
You suck. I'm not enjoying this conversation with you. I can't imagine being married to you. But people, like, you know, framing having a child as this huge loss. And it's like, get a babysitter and go dance with your wife. We travel with our baby. The other thing is like people that let their babies control their schedule. And it's like the baby is so new. It's like if someone that's never been to L.A. showed up in L.A. and you're like, all right, take me to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Show me those stars.
when my ex-wife and I were had little kids and we go out of town, we would call the front desk. Do you have babysitters? Yes, they do.
They are
licensed.
Yes.
They are insured. They are much better than like the neighbor's daughter. And then you have this person. And some places like that we would go to on a regular basis, mm-hmm. There was this old lady that would bring two shopping bags full of just like garbage drugstore toys, you know, like $3 toys. And my son was maybe four at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go there and he would just be like, I don't know where.
This
I don't
lady
remember.
Is
He'd
a
just
magician.
Be like, when's Margaret coming? And then one time we came.
Just
we
dead
came,
in the eyes till Margaret comes.
And in fact, it was at Disneyland because we would go and stay overnight at Disneyland. And then we would go out to dinner. And there was one time where she came and put down the bags. And he just turned to us and went, bye. like my date's here. You can go now. But yeah, early on when I had, because I kind of, among a lot of people kind of my age, I was one of the first people to have kids. So I had a lot of sort of male
Me
peers.
Too. Me too.
Yeah, I had a lot of male peers just afterwards have kids
mm-hmm.
and then seek out advice from me. And I cannot tell you, and I mean like, especially the bigger and the more sort of famous and mm-hmm. richer, the conversation always ended, boiled down to kind of like, ah, man, is that ever going to, am I ever going to get back to making it all about me again?
Oh, that just sucks.
Is it all going to be about me? I mean, is this, and it's like.
Is it not enough that the thing looks like you kind of.
You made a fucking human being. You made a human being.
It's, but that's something that's just like a deeper, like an inability to realize like the value and deep connection, like just to look at your baby. I think, I mean, there is a, what we were talking about before of just sharing the load is so important. And it's so wild because I started doing stand-up when I was 16 and one of the first jokes I wrote was like, isn't it crazy how moms just like go crazy? It's like, what is up with moms? They're just like nuts. And it's like, oh my God, no. Society kidnapped them.
Yes.
Society was like, what did you want to be? A dentist, a lawyer, an artist? Oh, too bad, Karen.
Yeah.
You're raising these kids now and you should be so lucky, Karen.
And I also, I always
no wonder Karen fucking suck.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know.
Just that was a side note about Karen.
Well, there is. I mean, there's all kinds of essays and stuff written about like the mom's anger. Like moms are angry.
Yeah.
Like they're like you said, their lives have been taken from them. And also, I think there is the you know, this is probably way too reductive, but like just the primary.
I'm already mad at it. I've already blogged about it.
The primary thing of like when we, you know, well, like in Stone Age us.
Yeah.
Like there's this woman that has all these kids and they might get eaten.
Yeah.
So she's constantly on guard, constantly nervous about something, you know, some disaster happening.
Yeah, well, Ted is chewing on rocks with his buddies.
Right, exactly. They're out, you know, bringing down a woolly mammoth.
Licking toads.
Bringing down a woolly mammoth. And by that, I mean fucking each other.
They're saying they're bringing down a woolly mammoth. They're fucking each other. Yeah, they're fucking each other. They're licking toads.
Oh,
they're talking about how women's vaginas are so gross.
Check out that woolly mammoth. Og. All right. Well, let's start with the beginning.
Sure. But hold on. I have one quick tip.
Okay.
One thing, if you're traveling, you don't have the access to the cool babysitter, Margaret with the trash bags.
Yeah, yeah.
You can – now, this is for like if you're staying at a hotel with a cool hotel restaurant.
Yeah.
Baby's sleeping in the crib. FaceTime each other. FaceTime each other and put the FaceTime on the baby and then go down to the hotel bar and that's called free babysitting, baby. I'm not responsible if your kid gets kidnapped. You have to be watching your kid, okay? You can see the kid in the FaceTime.
So you just leave the phone with the baby and go downstairs.
If you feel like you're in a weird place, definitely don't do this. Like, I already regret telling people.
Right,
like,
right. Well, no, I mean,
13 children were stolen after the podcast aired.
Well, there's a very limited window of time that you can get away with that. Like, because when the baby starts becoming more older and being
when he's like smoking cigars, being like, "Where's Margaret?"
Yeah. Or like where it's all like the period that I like when they start toddling, I always called that high stakes boredom because they do the same fucking thing over and over and over. But
that's
good. The chance of the imminent death is always in the air.
Oh my God.
Like they could fall down and anything. They could kill themselves
yesterday,
on a corner of a coffee table.
Baby Wolfie has a little.
How old is Baby Wolfie now?
Baby Wolfie is a year and a half.
A year and a half, yeah.
And he's got this little bike and he's like BMXing with it. It's like, you know, a tiny little wooden bike, but his game is like, how do I get onto a high thing and then jump off of it?
Yeah, yeah.
And Shauna went out to go hang laundry. In a second, this kid went like down four stairs with his BMXer, and I just hear him screaming, and he's like falling down the stairs. And both Shauna and I are like, well, we were both next to him. How did this boredom?
It's amazing.
High stakes boredom BMXing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was, and I would always at that age too, people would tell me like, well, I'm never high around my kids. And I would think, I'm constantly high around my kids.
They probably thought you were a cop. No, I mean, who said that?
I was out in the garage with them watching them just like build blocks, knock blocks over, build blocks, knock blocks over. It's like, God damn it. Something's got to get me through this, you know?
Yeah, you got to have a little.
This one hitter will help.
Yeah, just get a couple of glasses of wine in there, change the perspective on it.
Yeah, it does help. So you are from Toronto.
I am girl.
You are
I'm
a girl.
I'm a girl.
And you're from Toronto.
I'm from Toronto.
And is all your family still up there?
Born and raised. And that doesn't answer your question at all. My family lives in Toronto. Mom, Ursula, Swiss lady, moved to Toronto in the 70s to au pair for a mean family.
Wow.
Dad, Syed Jalees.
And just stuck around? Or
well,
met your dad?
My dad became obsessed with her.
Oh.
It's like one of those love stories that like, you know, if you told it now, it's like that's stalking, but because it's like 100 years old, JK, yeah, yeah. However, when one was the 70s,
yeah, yeah.
300 years old.
Right, exactly.
It's like cute. You know? Like my dad, basically, they met on a double date, like blind setup double date. And my dad was like, I will have you. And my mom was like, my mom grew up like Swiss people are very like pure mm-hmm. and all about normal. Mm-hmm. You know, the other day I asked my mom how her period cramps were when she had one. She was like, normal. And I was like, did you ever feel like a little crazy, like emotional? She was like, I felt a normal amount of emotion. And it's like, you know, that is like.
Right. It's, absolutely.
It's very. Conforming. So yeah. It was just this wild thing that she.
It's like the crazy, like a clock.
Yeah, like a clock. Exactly. Yeah. And like the Mary, the Muslim Pakistani dude, was not on a number on the clock.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just, they were the original lesbians. What? They were like, you know, in the 70s holding hands with people being like, why?
What the hell?
What? Who allowed this?
Is your dad from Pakistan?
Yeah, my dad's from Pakistan. Yeah. He's the eldest of eight. My mom subsequently, after like falling in love with him, realized like when you marry into a family like that, you're marrying the whole family. So I grew up with like our basement was like basically the landing pad for everyone immigrating.
They would
land in our basement and then my parents would like set them up with a different place.
Right.
So my mom has no bitterness about that.
She doesn't?
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Well, like I'm like really jumping all over the place.
That's all right.
But, when I came out to my Muslim family, it was very bad news.
Yeah.
It was like not nice. They like broke up with me and it was very emotional and sad. But I think there's, you know, I'm just like literally driving us to a sad place for no reason.
That's okay.
So you'll have to back us out of here.
We will.
But when I just said the bitterness
it's
part.
It's just a podcast.
I know, but the stakes could not be higher for me, Andy. I'm hoping to really launch myself off this. Three questions was going to be the moment that America discovered me.
Yeah, that what? Got you a recurring role on a network television
That's
show?
That's right.
You already have that.
Yeah, no one's watching that.
Oh, well, no one watches network
it
television
It aired yesterday
anymore.
For the first time and 6 million people watched it. Which
oh, no
is
shit.
The amount of people, more than they wanted.
Holy
so our
shit,
table
congratulations.
My nipples were erect and just bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, shooting Krugerrands.
One of the suits from CBS stood up and was like, this is a success. And oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a amazing day. But let's get back to this bitterness that my mother.
Because I would like to know what that's like to be successful. But anyway, get back to the
You're
sadness.
You're so successful.
Thanks.
What are you talking about?
Took you long enough.
I was kind of like adding up all your money on the way over here. I think you got a lot.
Oh man. Yeah. Don't ever, those fucking like, how much are they worth things?
Yeah,
fucking
I know that they're arbitrary.
Hilarious.
it says more than you.
Oh my God. Oh my, it says, I mean, not just like more, like 20 times more than
you
could possibly.
You drive to their headquarters and be like, where is my missing money?
Yes. Where's my wheelbarrow full of millions? But anyway, so yeah, when you came out to your Muslim family.
Well, I just like threw that in because I think when I said I think my mom did a lot for this, for the family. And I think when they were not able to adapt to me being gay or when it was like so sort of like cut and dry, I think my mom was very sort of like, oh shit. I just like, I spent so much of my energy and life like giving.
Yeah.
But that's also like the tale of the mother is like so much giving and.
Yeah, but it's also, I think it's also sort of the story of religious fundamentalism too, I think a lot. Like where people, where it's kind of like, yes, it's all about family and it's all about giving and it's all about sharing until you break a rule.
Until you step outside of this box.
Yeah. And then it's like, no thanks. Because it is
it was
like,
also
like, you guys did all this stuff for these people. The least they could do is be kind and
but
open.
And now looking back, I realize like there's a period of coming out to yourself where you are just as – hold on one second.
Nice.
If you want to loop that, if you want to use that as a sound
Absolutely.
Effect again, I'm gonna launch.
It'll be my my ringtone on a loop, like a rapid fire.
What was the thing? Damn it! You know when you do such a good.
You said when you come out to yourself.
When you come out to yourself, there's this period where you're like, I'm not gay. I can't be gay. It's so much denial because also different era. I associated being gay with like. Failing to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have, like, when you come out to someone, especially someone that's like, has no frame of reference of what being gay is, you're basically like to them saying like, I'm a crackhead and I'm happy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I inject myself with crack. That's not how crack works, guys.
Well, it would hurt.
It would hurt
to do that with crack.
All the three question heads that are also, you know, 50% of them are crackheads.
Of course.
They wouldn't appreciate the way I misrepresented crack.
That was actually the first merch was three questions crack.
That's why you're not making a ton of money.
I know.
Sell the pure stuff.
I know, but so, it's so easy to make.
I know. Once you do make that first batch and you know you can, you're bored, you're sitting around, the kids
it's
are asleep.
Fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's magical. Those crystals form. Whee!
I understand looking back, like in the pain of being like broken up with and the drama of that, it was like so painful, but like looking back and after doing a little bit of ayahuasca, just feeling like love for them and feeling like, wow, that was a really hard thing for them to do.
Yeah.
You know, they needed to take, you know, they needed to like take a walk through the forest to realize that like they were going to come back.
Is it getting better?
Yeah. Like I think the people in my family now, after years, you know, it's just sort of, hasn't never been talked about, but they're just sort of like, you know, I'm back in the WhatsApp family chain.
Oh.
I'm, you know, Wolfie really normalized things for them.
Yeah.
We're the first, like, you know, gay family that they know.
Yeah.
And I think for them, it was also this kind of Bollywood drama style showing of like, all right, kids, if this is what you want to do, this is how you get treated.
Yeah.
You know, so that, because I'm one of the elder cousins.
Oh, I see. And have you ever been to Pakistan?
I've never been to Pakistan, yeah. But I'd like to go with.
And do you have relatives there that are, yeah?
We do, yeah. Like far down the lineage, like not my dad's direct, like my dad's cousins.
Siblings
and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All the siblings are in North America now.
Uh huh.
I'd like to go. It's just like a weird thing. I have a podcast called The Goody Goody, and this week I had my friend Patty Harrison.
Yeah.
Super funny trans writer, yeah. Actress. She's going to star in a movie with Ed Helms.
Like, oh my God. Oh, that's fantastic.
She's shooting it right now. But she was talking about not feeling comfortable traveling because she's trans, and I was kind of trying to convince her like, oh, well, it's, you should definitely go to Vietnam though. You have that lineage there. And then as I'm saying this, I'm like, oh no, shit. Like I haven't been to Pakistan. And part of the reason I haven't been to Pakistan is for sure that I feel like I cannot be myself there. And even the family that I'll meet, it's like, are there rules around, you know, being able, like, I just have to hang out, like, with my family, like we're a fun group of friends.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
picked
yeah.
up this 1.5-year-old. He's a riot. Yeah.
Somebody left this baby on me and my roommate's doorstep.
And so we're all just hanging.
We're hanging it and waiting for the right fella
to make our lives make sense.
Oh yeah. Well.
Anyway, just one bed.
Just one bed.
Yeah,
yeah, that'll be fine.
We get cold.
Yeah. yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, but it's easy to tell Patty. Oh, yeah, you do that.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, you. Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah,
sounds
great.
Sounds easy. No trouble at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what did your dad do for a living? What brought him? Was he the first to come
my
over
dad,
from Pakistan?
He came over from Pakistan. Both my parents were like waitering when they, but they were taking courses and they both became computer analysts.
Okay.
And
I like to say analysts.
Analysts. Yeah, well, yeah. It was very sex heavy what they were doing with computers.
Really? they were fucking each other with keyboards.
I hope they're listening. Yeah, yes. They were just penetrating keyboards with both of them wore strap-ons. And,
nice. Nice. No wonder you're gay.
I'll gather the whole family around for this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do a little listening party.
Right. Take it to Pakistan.
Now that we're
Let
all back in each
know.
Other's lives.
Uh-huh.
So they did, but my dad got laid off from IBM too early to retire, and he, ended up learning how to contract homes, which was,
oh wow,
it ended up being the way that they retired, was that my dad would buy, kind of an old crappy house,
yeah,
and either renovate it or eventually just tear it down and build a new home. And I got really into real estate from seeing them do that because I also saw my dad, like lose money in the stock market. And I just remember thinking like, what a fucking, that's, I can't, like with stocks, I'm just like, that seems insane to like
it's
put your
like
money.
Gambling. Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally gambling. And then there's like right now what's happening. I downloaded this Robinhood app and I started like dabbling,
mm-hmm.
which is not good for me because then I'd be like drinking at a party being like, I bet Overstock's going up tonight. And it's like, you know,
Well, I don't know what Robinhood is.
It's an app where you can invest in stocks. So you can, and it makes it pretty easy.
Is it different than E-Trade or, you know, any
Maybe,
one of those
other things? I bet they're similar.
Yeah.
But basically, I was like doing so good and now like everything's steering downwards.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I had more than like, you know, a few thousand dollars in this, I would be, my mood would be affected.
Oh, first of all, I'm old enough to where when I started at Conan, there was just starting to be this thing called the internet. Like it was,
it's coming.
To think that it, you know, to think that like, and the note, like I remember being like, wait, there, it's called the World Wide Web. And like,
that'll never like catch on.
A Pepsi wet, like who's going to look up a brochure online? You know, like look up a brochure for Pepsi or what? It was so, had no conception of it.
Yeah.
But when online trade, like E-Trade and all these places where you could do this yourself. And it was, you know, the early 90s and there was this big tech bubble. And yeah, people at work were just like, we're just all during the day like, oh, you should buy this one and oh, you should buy that one. And I probably didn't lose this amount. But from my top point, when I finally was like, I can't, I'm stupid. I'm really dumb about money.
Okay.
I'm smart about other things, but money and numbers just are terrible to me. I've always been bad at math.
I've got a couple stocks to sell you after podcast. I'd love to.
I think I got about $200 in my wallet.
Andy.
But yeah, I lost like 60 grand.
That's terrible.
Like from the top to the bottom. And I mean,
it wasn't
like the original 60 grand, but it was probably I probably did lose 20 grand, you know, and it was like, I should not have been fucking around with that money. I should have been giving it to somebody that was smart. And from that point on, I've only let the experts handle it, you know?
I feel like real estate is such a solid investment when you are talking about investing in cities like LA or New York, because even when the market gets whatever it's called,
squishy,
soft or bad or
naughty.
Naughty. That naughty anal market.
Yes.
People have to move to the cities to get work.
Yeah.
So when the economy is, even when the economy is rough, it's even if it goes down a little bit, if it depreciates, it's just like a yo-yo on an escalator is what my dad told me.
Oh.
And I think that that's true. If you look at any sort of like all the properties and I don't think it's just in LA or New York or Toronto, but those are like strong, you know, city markets. You look at property, it's like it's always going to go up. So it's a safer place to put your money.
Yeah. After renting in New York City for years and years, the first place I bought, like the first, like within a minute of buying it, I was like, oh my God, why didn't I do this?
Yes.
I'm not
and,
flushing
and psychologically,
money down the toilet.
For artists, I think they always think, or anyone freelance, they always think like the more money I have in my bank, that is going to be, that's my security blanket. When in fact, your security blanket is not throwing money into a fire pit, which is renting. Fire pit, I don't know what. I just like wanted to make it cozy.
It does. It sounds fun, like
roasting
a beach party.
Roasting marshmallows.
Yeah.
If you have the capability to buy, if you're in that position, do it. Because then your money starts working for you.
I have a couple friends, like Andy Daly is someone who moved out here, bought a condo. Mm-hmm. Like I think took out a loan from relatives and bought a condo. And I was like, the goddamn presence of mind to do that as a young person just moving to a new city. I was like, I couldn't even conceive of doing
that. Well, what were your parents like? With money?
No, terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I think it's like, it really is like, I got a head start from seeing what worked for my for my parents and what didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Stock market didn't really work.
Habits of, you know, like, or there's books about like, good daddy teaches child to make money or something like that.
Yeah, I bought that book.
Yeah, yeah. Did you?
And I was like, bitch, I know this shit. Who doesn't know?
I'd like a refund.
It's just like 10 chapters of like, and then put the money in the bank and then buy a house.
Yeah, yeah.
But the lesson that I also learned from them was to hold on to the properties and not just like flip and sell. Mm-hmm. Because if you can rent them out, then for all the work that my dad did to break these houses down and build them and sell them, they would have been in a better financial position if they just had kept them as is, rented them out, and then cashed out when they were retired.
Oh, wow.
Because that's how much the property value goes up.
Wow. Wow.
So that's my lesson on money.
When did he start doing that? What age were you?
I guess I was a little tween.
Oh, you were still in the house.
Well, I think he started, we moved constantly because he didn't have to pay builder's tax if we lived in the house.
Oh.
So we were constantly either living in a little house that he was eventually going to break down or a big house that he built but that was too, like, out of our price range, but we were going to sell. So my friend's parents probably thought my dad had like a gambling problem where it's like, make a decision. Yeah. Are you rich? Are you poor?
Are you making meth in there?
Yeah. Because you should. Because that's the rule that we've decided on this podcast.
But you're just moving around within Toronto, So, but I mean, does it have, in the same school? So it's like, it's kind of just a weird
it's
sort of.
It's kind of just like fun. Like you're checking into a different hotel for a year.
Does it make you keep the amount of stuff that you have?
Because my mom would have to do everything. So it was like, we didn't have a ton of things. That was like we get rid of stuff every time. And then also we would never I'd go to my friend's house and they'd have like these posters or these picture frames and colors and wallpaper. And it was like, everything was neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's nothing hung on the wall.
No, because it's not. Anyway. Yeah. You're like kind of living in a showroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Was that? Do you think that like impacted you in some way? Did you move into an apartment, your first apartment, and just cover the walls with things or anything? Or
I think that the way that it impacted me was that I didn't realize the importance of aesthetic, like personal aesthetic, and living in a, like, my wife is very visually, like, she's just gifted. Like, she walks into spaces. She's a wardrobe stylist, but she also does some art direction. She'll walk into a space, like my dressing room. People say like, don't get your room like dressed up for the first season. It's bad luck, but like, fuck it. Like, I'm right. Who knows how long I have a job.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time.
Yeah. I got to use this amenity. Yeah. So she made it look so great. And it was just from her like going to the flea market for a day, but like she hung stuff and shelves. And like that, appreciating the value in that and personalizing a space.
Yeah.
But the positive thing was, I think that it made me sort of, I'm not scared to move.
Right.
Or to take on project, like house projects, because I saw them do it so often. So I guess like moving, and also this probably comes from the spirit of like two people that came from like oceans away and settled in Canada, but like moving from Canada to New York when I was 22, it's not as crazy because it's like we're constantly moving.
That is true. Yeah. I imagine. Yeah. And especially as a stand-up, you're used to being somewhat, you know, transience is not a,
I think of myself as a transient and then a stand-up.
I don't mean like you. I'm not going to explain this.
Look, after this, all I have to do is wander around and tell jokes.
No, but you know what I mean. The stand-up life, the life on the road, the life and on the comedy road.
Yeah,
condos.
For sure. All of that. Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad. Investing too is another way for me, because that's something that I love stand-up. I love the moment where I'm on stage and I love connecting with different crowds or towns or places, but the travel part of it is just not for me. I mean, like once or twice a month, great, but like my life when I first moved from Toronto to New York, the big thing that I had like set up for me in America was that I had a college booking agent. Mm-hmm. So I was going to do all the NACAs, and NACAs, as you know, but maybe the listener doesn't, it's basically like you are like a show pony and you do your like pony tricks on stage, and then you stand in a stall next to your agent, and then all of the college students come and talk to you if you did a good set, and it's really a long, painfully long if you didn't connect, and write down tickets to like book you.
Yeah.
So if you do good
it's
at
like
NACA,
a trade show with, and you're the, yes, exactly. you're a product. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And you, and so I did like, I think 25 or 30 colleges the first year that I moved to New York. And it's sort of like, why am I not getting any traction in New York? And it's like, because you're not in New York.
Right.
And you're also not, I found on the road doing colleges that it wasn't really deepening my voice, that I was getting really good at like doing crowd work and connecting, talking about like, yes, high or drunk, you know, like just being on that level. But it wasn't like I wasn't getting deeper into my voice.
Yeah. It's a very particular audience, and you do end up.
You're a truck driver of jokes.
Yeah. And you want to, you're there to entertain people and you want to entertain them. And if you, I mean, college
sometimes
kids are college kids. Yeah.
Sometimes like you risk your, it's like planes, trains, and automobiles, and it's Iowa, and it's the winter, and you spun out, and you ended up in the fucking between the two highways, and the AAA's got to pull you out, and you get to the gig, and it's like three people, and like you're next to a microwave, and you're you're less interesting than the microwave.
Yeah,
the microwave's getting more laughs.
Do people
I got less grounded when the microwave got more laughs, but I just want to, I felt like you guys didn't understand how sad it was.
I just like the notion of somebody coming in and using the microwave and standing there while for 2 minutes.
Yeah, that definitely did
heats
happen.
Up their mac and cheese. Yeah, no, I had a little taste of the road on the Conan. We did a tour.
What did it taste like?
Like sadness.
It's sad.
Like sadness, yeah. Like potential alcoholism and obesity for my
Well, what are you going to do? Yeah, you're going to eat. You're going to reward yourself by eating and drinking.
And late at night, too. It's like, okay, I'm back. I'm hungry. And it's 10:30. There's pizza or pizza. Mm-hmm. And it's, okay, I'm going to eat a pizza.
Yeah.
What kind of kid were you in Toronto? Do
the
you have
best
siblings?
Kind, like so cool.
Do you have siblings?
I have a brother who's 2 years older, Samir.
Yeah.
And he's like much whiter. I was like I had a mustache at 12, which I think like helped me into comedy. And I think also just like the big family around, like performing for the family.
Yeah.
I was like much more, I think, in touch with who I was like gender wise when I was younger, like before I started becoming conscious of like what a girl should look like.
Mm-hmm.
I had a mushroom cut.
I
was a tomboy.
Yes.
I was a tomboy.
Yeah.
I play roller hockey.
Oh, cool.
I used to want to be a tennis player. I played tennis competitively.
Oh, nice.
But then realized I actually just liked, you know, performing tennis when I was on like, when I was on court one, that's when I like in front of the, like near the crowd.
Yeah.
I'd play great. And then anytime people weren't watching, I'd be like, who the fuck cares?
Who cares?
Who fucking cares?
Yeah. So you were kind of like the entertainer of the family?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And just like wheeling and dealing. I was always into making a buck. Like I would sell 50-50 draw tickets at like family events. I set up a little casino in our garage in one of our spots. And the parents of the community shut it down because I was making like, you know, $15 a day.
Wow.
In quarters and loonies and toonies. Actually, it was pre-toonies.
Oh, yeah.
But I found this grid in our garage that was, it was just like a screen, but the holes were the size of like, if you threw a marble across it, it could kind of like take a little path and then land somewhere.
Sure.
So I drew circles around for like, okay, if your marble lands here, you double your money, you triple your money here.
That's a basic carnival game.
Yeah. Basic carnival game. And so I was just like pulling gypsy tricks on the block and making tons of cash until, I think Renee's mom got mad.
When I was a kid, they had games that were like that. It was like a big spinning square with holes.
Yeah.
And they had colors around the holes, and you would put a quarter down on a color.
Yeah.
And they'd toss in a wiffle ball, and it would bounce around, and if it would land, you'd win like a dollar. You know, like, and it was just low-level gambling.
Yeah, exactly.
And you could only bet a quarter at a time.
Yeah.
But my favorite one, and I love this so much, and I can't believe – I feel like I dreamed it, but I know it really happened. It was a big square table again. It spun. It rotated like on a Lazy Susan. And all around the edge of it were little holes about the size of a big marble, you know, or like that you could put a cigar through.
Mm-hmm.
And they were numbered. And then you had a square of numbers, like 13, 14, 15, 16, and you put a quarter on that. There's little drawers on each side.
This is complicated.
They'd pull the drawer out.
I was trying to visualize it, but now the drawers, I'm like, this is too much.
Little drawers on the side of the spinning table. They'd stop the table.
You know what I'm picturing? A cigar going in and out of a hole.
That was the idea. That's what I'm always picturing. That's why I said it was cigar
size. Okay, so the drawers.
The drawer comes out. The drawer has a lid. It removes from the side of the spinning table. They spin the table.
An accordion pops out, licks you on the forehead.
They lift the lid on the drawer and drop a mouse.
What?
Into the middle of the table, which is spinning. They bang on it if the mouse is too stunned, and it runs down a hole.
How
and
are
that's
you guys
the,
getting
that's
my,
the this, number?
This was like a neighborhood game?
No, this was at a fair.
Oh,
this
at
was
a fair.
At our fair.
Okay, and I thought so, this was like at school.
No, this was like a traveling carnival game. This is one of the—
And you guess where the mouse is.
And you guess, and if it runs down your number, then you get a dollar.
That's
or you
amazing.
Get 50
and
cents or whatever.
Everything that I said about the stock market being too risky, I do not apply those rules to this specific game. It is incredible. I want to play it. Let's fucking play it.
And they had, and the
let's
mice.
Let's do it, Andy, one day.
Do a mouse game?
Let's do a charity night. Let's make sure that game, like a charity night of like all of like child, like I'll bring my marble game.
Right.
And then you bring a mouse and some drawers.
A high stakes mouse game.
High stakes mouse game. We just get a bunch of people to do like their thing that they bamboozled people to get money with.
These mice were not like refugees from a pet store. They were like just field mice.
They were divas.
They were just brown, you know, like.
Don't look at me and say that way.
I have to look at you. I'm talking to you.
They were just brown. You know what?
Oh, boy. I just walked into oh, no. Sabrina, come back, please. I'm kidding. I mean, no, I'm not kidding. I mean, they were brown mice. I mean, they were field mice. They weren't white mice. That's my point.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. No, they were just.
So brown mice belong in the field, and white mice
belong in a snake's belly.
In an ivory tower located inside a snake's belly.
That's right. The luxury of a snake's belly. No, but that I can't even believe that would happen. And also that it was actually you'd win money. It wasn't like you wouldn't win a prize. You'd win money.
You'd win money, yeah. That's the – well, I want to alert all the listeners to this way that I lost 150 euros in Paris, okay?
Oh, good.
This was like 5 years ago, and I was staying in a – no, not 5 years ago. Like 10 years ago. I was staying in like a hostel. And saving so much money, just like having the solo trip in Paris and like just trying to scrimp and save. But then I had at the end of the trip, it was the last day, I had 150 euros. And I'm like, you know what, baby girl, let's fucking go out tonight and eat some fucking oyster. Let's like do it tonight. Okay, baby girl? That's how I talk to myself.
Sure,
I flirt
sure,
with
sure.
myself in my mind. When you got money in your pocket, you get a little sexy with yourself, right?
I hope you were in the hostel vocalizing that.
Yes. Can you please quiet down? We're all trying to nap. That's
Wait,
three.
You're not supposed to have a baby in here.
Three German triplets trying to nap at 2 p.m.
three German triplets.
So I did the
FaceTime. We are two German triplets. Our sister is sick.
And tired of listening to you. So she's in the bathroom. We have one German triplet now. Please. So we hook up, me and the German triplet.
Yeah.
And then that fantasy to the side. And now back to reality.
Cigars and
where
holes.
I've got 150 euros. I'm looking at the Eiffel Tower. I'm feeling good. And there's a guy that is doing this game. He's got these paper cups and a little foam ball.
Yeah.
And he's going, où est la balle?
Où
est la
balle?
Où est la balle? Où est la balle? Où est la balle? Où est la balle? Where is the ball? Where is the ball? Where is the ball? Where is the ball? And people guess where the ball is and they put an amount in front of him, 20 euros or whatever. He picks up the cup and the foam ball's there. You double your money. And I'm seeing people fucking, what's like mint money?
Yeah, yeah.
Mint is fine. I just thought by the time I reached that part, I'd have like a...
They were pulling money out of their ass.
Pulling money out of their asses.
Yeah,
something like that. So I'm like, I'm going to make this 150, 300. But I'm not stupid. I start with 50 euros. I put 50 euros down. I know exactly. I see the foam ball under the thing. He's not doing it fast enough for my cool eyes. Cool eyes, Jalice. So he lifts up the thing. The foam ball's not there. Everyone around me is like, oh, shit, you know, like, and it's different people around me that are winning and losing. And so I'm like, shit, I got to get my money back. So then I bet again, and I lose. And the next time I sit back and I watch, and then some other people are winning. And I'm like, okay, cool. The energy's back. I'm going to win this time. And what I realize is I lose all the money. I go on this tour. I come back. And it's the exact same people that are
winning.
Fucking losing. And it's different demos. They have like just like a whole casting, fucking central casting squad of fucking bamboozlers.
Of Confederates. Yeah.
And but there was like costumes.
That's a classic scam.
Well, now I know.
It's exactly the kind of thing that you have to learn. Like,
hodgepodge gang.
Yeah.
Kind of seems like a cool like... TV show?
Yeah.
Like the new Friends, but they're bamboozlers.
The bamboozlers. In my old neighborhood in New York, we were looking for a new apartment, and we went to see this apartment. And as we were going in, there was a couple coming down the stairs, like really pretty people. And they were coming down the stairs, and they were just absolutely effusive about the apartment and saying like, well, we're going to come to the office and put down some money right now. And we went up and looked at it, and it was kind of shitty, you know, and we're like, oh, okay, whatever. And it was right around the corner from our old apartment.
Yeah.
And the next day I walked by, and those two people were sitting and waiting to do the same thing. They probably worked at the office or something and were supposed to – every time they brought somebody in, they were supposed to go, we're going to take it.
Well,
you know?
Because
that will make you, like, I guess there's some people that are so competitive.
Well, I can see.
They'll move into a shitty apartment just because someone else wants it.
I mean, I don't know if you can tell by that last story, but I'm easily swayed. Like, I think that's something.
I would not expect that because you have such a grounded smartness.
A beautiful sense of gorgeous. Go on.
That's the next step. No. Like all this real estate shit. All this, that's very smart.
Well, but it also comes from a savviness that gets too excited.
Oh.
Thankfully, I found real estate. Otherwise, I'd be. Well, my parents also have.
You'd be standing
once,
in front of that guy, Uwe Lobaling, still today.
Yeah. I'd be like, this is gonna work.
Come on, it's got a lightning's got
to
strike.
I'm flying
once.
To Paris for business. I know where La Balle is.
Yeah, yeah.
My parents, I think that you've got, like, you, to get ahead, you have to try a lot of things. And if you're open to trying a lot of things, then you'll try bad things.
Yeah.
And my parents, you know, they did correct things with money. And they also one time went to a seminar and came home having spent $25,000 on 25 payphones, like, right at in the moment where it was, like, everybody has cell phones.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, what? And then they didn't even like it. There was 25 payphones that sat in our garage because the next step would be like that they've got to go sell these payphones.
Yes.
They've got to like sell people on the idea of putting these weird
looking
payphones.
Go to a cafe and say, you need a payphone.
So all we need to do is get a landline over here, connect it to this payphone. It just so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So like they get excited. You know, they'll get sold in a timeshare.
Are they still in their garage, the payphones? Did they?
I think they ended up like getting someone to pick them up for free after they got dusty.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can't you tell my love's a crow? So in high school.
In high school, I reinvented myself as Sabrina, the female Jalisse. I had the mustache removed.
Yeah. You were a Tom girl.
There was like from eighth grade to ninth grade, I was like, this is going to be a different school. I'm going to fucking show them that I am going to make my shoulders less broad. I am going to make my sensibility Anne Hathaway's. I am going to be tonally Jessica Alba. I knew what shape and vibe a girl was, and I knew that I was not hitting the mark, and I was an ambitious girl. So I was like, I went to Le Chateau. I bought, that's a Canadian, like a Zara, but like Zara's busted sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Zara's kind of busted German triplet cousin. So I went to Le Chateau. Où est Le Chateau? Où est Le Chateau? Où est Le Chateau? If you're interested in combat.
En Le Mall.
In Le Mall. So I go to Le Chateau and I get these flares, these like Lycra flares. You know them? You remember them? You love them.
What year is this approximately?
1936.
No, come on. I know you like to guard your age because
I'm 34.
In show business.
I'm 34. I'm kidding. Age is for losers.
I know. I was joking.
Guarding age is for losers, okay?
Listen, you have 34
Honestly,
tattooed
stop
on
pretending
your lip.
That's right. And I change it every year. That's why the four looks so fucked up.
What a terrible plan. What a terrible, terrible plan.
Yeah, but it looks cool when I flip it down. Yeah. So I had like a headband, but metal headband with a butterfly on it.
Nice.
Butterflies are for girls.
They really are.
I'm killing it. I got like a halter top, and I just remember like walking to school feeling like so uncomfortable, and like I was in drag, and like I just, you know, I eventually kind of settled back into some. I mean, like if you Google Sabrina Jalisse, which let's be honest, you already have.
Absolutely. I've been doing it this entire time.
I know. Could you look at me?
I've misspelled your name 6 times.
Well, Google will correct it.
Oh, okay. You're right. I'm using Bing.
You'll see some, Bing and I. Well, you know when you start a sentence and you're like, what are you even what's your plan with this? He already did Bing. What are you going to do about Bing?
I know. I'll start a bit and then just be like, you know what? I'm bored with it.
Don't you wish you could just like parachute out of your body and just be like, you're on your own, bitch. I don't know why you started the fucking conversation with the fiscal.
Yeah. That happens to me all the time at work when I'm like having an opinion about a bit we're doing.
Yeah.
And I have my opinion, and then somebody has a counter opinion, and it comes back to me, and I'm trying to explain my opinion, and halfway through I go like, you know what? I don't really care.
I don't fucking care.
Now that we've had to have 2 lines of dialogue about it, I don't care anymore. Do whatever the fuck you want.
We can tell, Andy, you're in your bathrobe.
It's a smoking coat. So how is the reinvention bought at school? And it's in your house is another thing too. Like,
I think everyone was like, good. Like, you're getting normal. I don't know. I think that's such a tricky age, and it took me so long to get back to. I mean, really, actually, it wasn't till I started dating Shauna that I was like putting on a bunch of makeup, and Shauna was like, do you like that? Like, does that feel like you? And I was like, you know what? No. Like, why have I been drawing these lines in my eyes? If you're down for me not to do this. And she's like, I'm totally down. And it's not to say that like everyone that, you know, Shauna wears makeup. I was costuming myself to like fit into something that I didn't need to be doing. You know, like you go so far just to come back and realize it would have been much better if you were yourself all along.
That's also a good intuitive partner.
Yeah.
To vibe that and go like, that thing you're doing, I bet that's not you, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to pound bronzer on your face for me to love you.
Wish you told me before.
No, well, Andy, it's just that every time I brush up against you, I ruin my white shirt.
It's true. It's true. So,
So yeah, that was the reinvention of high school. But high school, I was like pretty popular.
Yeah,
I was good at like I think because
still a good tennis player.
Still a good tennis player. Well, but I was like letting go of tennis and starting to be like I'm gonna be a pop star or an actress.
Okay. Surely.
There was like a time in my life where I kept on crying before bed, and then
practice.
Yes, practice for my big scene. There was just this phase. And I think that, I mean, I think about it too now when I get, when I'm like moody about something, I'm like, oh yeah, like this, your origin story, you know, like you just like, you need some attention sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would cry, one time before bed, I was crying and my mom was like, what is wrong today, Sabrina? What is wrong today? And I was like, I just want to be a pop star.
Did she laugh?
She took it serious. She was like, okay, well, then we'll put you in music lessons.
Pop star school.
She enrolled me in keyboarding lessons.
Wow.
But it was like stage one, like, you know, lesson, like, you know, grade one of keyboarding classes. So it was me and I was, I think, 13 or 14. And it was a bunch of like literally 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
But the teacher never acknowledged that I was like so much older than them. So she was always like, you're a prodigy. Like, it was like.
Your motor skills, they're advanced.
You blasted through this first book. She can do Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. She can do. But then I realized that's not what I wanted. I just wanted attention. And I started finding stand-up was like this big moment for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And when did that happen?
I was 16.
16.
Yeah.
Now, how does that coincide with coming out and our stand-up and coming out?
Well, I was not, I didn't know.
Oh,
I was
really?
Gay. I mean, like, I, you know, anyone who's gay knows you always know you're gay and then you never know. It's like,
yeah.
I had like dreams of like hugging Jennifer Love Hewitt and feeling her breasts against my body, but still in my mind being like, it would be the friendship of a lifetime.
Yeah.
So I was doing jokes when I was like 16 about like, you know, when you have a crush on a guy, then he likes you back and you're like, disgusting. Gotta hang with my friends. Friendship is everything. You know, when your friend gets a boyfriend and fucks everything up. Fridays were ours.
Yeah. How about these fucking cooties? Am I right, girls?
They're real. Yep. And they're on dicks.
Oh, yeah.
I was on stage.
So you were listening to one of your own sets, and you went, wait a minute.
Well, I actually went to Just for Laughs, and I fell in love with one of the drivers at the festival. That
oh,
was
really?
My first girlfriend, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is in Montreal?
In Montreal.
In Montreal,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how, and we, are you a teenager?
I'm a teenager. I'm 18.
Wow.
She was 27.
Wow.
And, you know, rode a motorcycle. And like, so I had this like whole gay life in Montreal. I would like leave Ryerson where I went to school, hop over to the bus station, not tell anyone, and to tell my parents I was doing like an overnight gig or something. And mm-hmm. then like take an 8-hour Greyhound. It's only like a 5.5-hour drive, but it was, you know, on the bus, like 8-9
yeah.
hours just to like kiss her, you
wow.
know?
I feel all warm and cuddly because of that.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a darkness to that relationship for sure. Like, if I painted the whole picture, I mean, the beginning was an affair. I just thought, you know, because in the beginning I thought this is going to be like the pattern is when I love someone, when I have a crush on someone and then they like me, I
yeah.
don't like them.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this will be an easy way for me to like have this sort of like detour into being a lesbian, whatever that is.
Right.
You know?
I'll dabble.
You know,
I'll
kiss
dabble.
This weird dyke. And then get back to being a serious Jessica Alba type.
Right, right, exactly. My pop starism.
Put my butterfly back
yeah.
on my head and kiss boys.
Well, and also, too, regardless of sexuality or sex, 27 and 18 is fucking weird.
It definitely is. And when I was 27, I remember thinking that. But, you know, there was just this, I think, at the same time, I was doing, in terms of like career and career maturity and just like self-actualization aside from my sexuality, mm-hmm. I was like
you are
leaps
mature
and bounds
18.
Ahead
yeah.
of her.
Oh, wow.
But in terms of, and there, you know, there's something, I think that that's another Hollywood thing where you see, where, I mean, like Dane Cook is dating like a, I mean, it is weird.
It's weird.
You're not in a great, I don't think you're in a the most evolved place when you are, you know, matching with people who are just starting to discover themselves
yes.
sexually. I think it's kind of.
There are definitely, you know, age differences are completely possible. But
possible.
When it's like yeah. a 40-year-old and a 19-year-old, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's kind of, I think the mentality around it for like some bros is like, yeah, I fucking game the system, dude. I got myself a young handbag of a woman.
Right, right.
Because bros love describing like as cool things as handbags. Check out this handbag.
Dude, you say handbag a lot.
Yo.
That seems out of character with the
Shut
rest
the
of you.
Shut the fuck up and suck my dick, dude.
Well, all right.
Stop being a faggot and suck this dick.
Okay, then. I do need nourishment.
And by suck my dick, I mean, like, connect with me in a way that I can't connect with the women that I date because, you know, girls are for putting your dick in.
Right.
And guys are for connections.
For talking.
Guys are the handbags of people.
What? You said it again, dude.
Dude, you know I was just being a fucking queer that time. You fucking dickhead. Why don't we just spoon, yeah. okay?
Listen, man, you're my handbag. I mean, bro.
Dude. I fucking love you.
So even after you have this relationship with
the person.
Yeah, with yeah. this Quebecois biker.
Yes,
You... You still are like, I'm not
well,
gay.
No. I come out from the relationship because I think it takes oftentimes because it's such a leap, especially if you've normalized heterosexuality. I remember like crying in like being like out with my friends at a bar and like going into the bathroom and being and like texting the girlfriend, like none of my friends knew, and like kind of crying and like looking at myself in the mirror and being like, no. And I wouldn't even say, like, you're not gay because that would be too gay. I was just like, I'd look at myself and be like, no, like, this is not happening. This is not.
Yeah.
Because there was so much shame.
Yeah.
I was watching old episodes of Friends and like there's like this whole runner with Chandler. It's like he's gay. What a fucking joke. Like the joke of being gay at that time. It was. And I loved Friends, you know, but just thinking about what that was doing to my brain,
yeah.
that what like the pop culture attitude around what being gay was,
yeah, and also it being the being an entirely acceptable thing to use as an insult,
yeah,
or to use as something like you're less than,
yeah,
and then say I got nothing against it, but just I think you are, you know.
I do think that we need as we like. Take the words away from like gay. There was a meaning for when you said stop being so gay.
Yeah.
There is a meaning behind that we haven't replaced.
Yeah.
You know, and the R word too. I think we need to replace the words.
Yeah.
Like R word we should replace with Lalu, which is Urdu for like that word adjacent. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, this Lalu.
Yeah.
Okay.
But and I mean, doesn't gay, that start to do the same thing?
Well, I don't think that Lalu's connected with mental health. I think Lalu's just Urdu for Lalu.
Oh, okay.
It's not the same thing. It's not okay. like, it's not, the message isn't you're, I mean like, yeah, I guess.
But wouldn't it just become meaning, wouldn't it just eventually mean something,
well,
the
gay,
same sort of dismissive the, thing that, the, that
but
the,
gay,
it's
what,
replacing?
When people said gay, it meant something different than like you want to, I mean like, I get that there's an overlap of like if you call a guy gay for being emotional,
yeah,
then like it's like, you know, you're fucking pussy, you're gay, but like
it's
but
like
gay,
extra and or like kind of like fussy or like
yes, there's yeah, to me it's
delicate.
Like my mother has a hard time being emotional,
yeah,
and to her I think emotions are gay, but it doesn't, it's not gay.
She doesn't mean it's two people
in the retro
sex.
Form,
yeah,
it's not that. It's just like it's like. And I think it might be from the form gay, happy. Like when gay meant happy, being happy is kind of stupid, you yeah. know? And that like, it's like, oh, this fuck.
Frivolous.
Yeah. Anyways, that whole period was about realizing like oh my God, there's something so undeniable when you fall in love. It's like this, I can't argue this.
Yeah.
And also this doesn't feel wrong.
Yeah.
So kind of undoing all the messaging and realizing like, oh my God, this is what makes me happy.
Yeah. And telling, you stop saying no in the mirror and.
Yeah. Yeah. And start saying, yes, and burr, burr, burr. I wish I didn't go there.
Yeah.
So I started to realize, and the interesting thing is like when I started doing stand-up, I was doing also a lot of jokes about having a Muslim family post 9/11. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful because it was like, oh, look at this kid with braces kind of like changing the messaging. And it all came from this really honest place of feeling frustrated about the way Muslim people and brown people were being portrayed. And because of that, I had a lot of success really fast with stand-up.
Yeah.
But I completely lost that, the lesson from that when I realized I was gay. I was so scared to come out on stage, even though I'd come out to my family, I'd come out to my friends. I felt so scared to come out on stage. Wow. I felt like, well, Ellen came out in her show and it got canceled. There were successful comics that told me not to come out. It was just like,
oh, wow.
And I look at like, you know, Bowen and Matt Rogers and like, you know, just like the queer and Patty and just like the freeness in the queer comedy scene now. And I feel so happy about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel gay about it.
I liked when Chris Kelly was running SNL, mm-hmm. like I felt SNL like was gay. Like
yeah.
There was like so many sketches that were, you know, before midnight that would have been relegated to so deep in, and sometimes just like so weird.
Yeah.
And it's
so, I mean, and I think, I guess we kind of touched on this idea of like going, you know, putting on all these masks just to come back to like, oh my God, it's so much better to just be you. Like if, uh-huh. like this kind of conversation where we're just being ourselves
yeah.
is like so much more interesting than like if I'd come here with a bunch of jokes that I'd written.
Right, right.
And
well, no, I mean, I wouldn't have a podcast. I don't want that's not,
yeah, yeah, that's
like,
not
I
the point.
Yeah,
and podcast, do you know? No. then I get really, then she got really loose and stopped saying words, which, but that podcast, when comics have podcasts and they go to comedy festivals, the podcast sells out before the comic.
Wow.
Which is a message, I think, of people saying, like, stop trying so hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather just hear you say something real, dude.
Yeah, hear two funny people talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eavesdrop on an interesting conversation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, that's all, I didn't expect to like this as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it because I'm having conversations with people that I want to talk to. And they're the
and
kind
of
conversations
like
that I want to have.
Exactly. My podcast, The Goody Goody.
We get it.
I got
a podcast.
Look, I only have 49 reviews and I want 52. my podcast, The Goody Goody, is just similarly to what the kind of conversation we're having here, it allows you to needle into someone's life and like kind of dig for the deeper
mm-hmm.
shit.
Yeah. It also, too, like it's an excuse. Like you and I have been out together, been at things, we knew each other,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't have this conversation with you because it would feel intrusive.
Yes,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? It would feel like rude for
yeah.
me to sit there and go like, tell me about your parents, you know, like, when'd you come out?
Andy, again, too much bronzer and take that smoking coat off.
Oh, it's on fire. That candle got too close. More than a smile, it's a burning coat now.
The German triplets are back. They want money. Wait about it.
I don't know which one I impregnated.
I love that we're such hams that after we establish that people just want real chats, we
just
immediately painted a cartoon.
Right. Sorry, folks. We're our own worst enemies.
But that is a ladder back to where we were at with just learning the lesson on stage of like I kind of stagnated. It was around the time that I was doing these college tours, and I remember it was like this college in the South, and I was just so scared also of just being in these places and like, you know, where like, I don't know how they would perceive me. First there was like the brown thing that I was cooking up, which I knew that like I was doing brown shows. I did like a tour called Allah Made Me Funny. So
mm-hmm.
I could not connect in my brain how they could see the, like I could add the layer of gay and it would be okay.
Yeah.
But I remember
which is not, as an artist and as a stand-up mm-hmm. is not like – it's not – a completely pointless thing to bring up. It's like, no, yeah. I'm working on this one groove.
Yeah.
And now do I want to water it down with and not just one little thing, but a whole other big thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's the way it felt.
Yeah.
But then now looking back, I'm like, when I do stand up, I'm not like on stage just mining one thing. I'm
right.
just being me.
Right. Right.
But
you have you did it enough. You have the maturity level to be
yes.
able to do a
yeah.
more holistic
but
sort
that's
of version
that, like,
of yourself.
Whenever someone says that they want to do stand, or like I'm talking to a newer comic, I'm always just kind of like giving them messages around that, which is just like, just always be you,
yeah.
and then add find jokes within it. But people will always be more interested in hearing a real thing that you feel or have to say
yeah.
than a really clever wordplay.
Ah.
That being said. Où est la belle? Où est la poupoufarde?
Wow. We are really getting to the heart of things.
Mm-hmm.
So what you were saying, you're in the South.
I'm in the South.
You're
and
feeling...
I just like looked around and I was like, wow, well, if I don't come out here, then there's people like there. I think I saw some like people
and you're
that
out
looked,
to your
that,
family.
That looked gay.
You're out to everybody in your life.
Yeah, and I yeah. started to have like I started to write some. I allowed myself to write some stuff.
Yeah,
and so I was like, if I'm not out here, I might be the only gay person that like is open. And I was like in a relationship too at that time. Like, I need to be. I am proud of who I am,
mm-hmm.
and I need to be open about
yeah.
who I am, and then. Immediately after I started getting comfortable about being open about being gay, it wasn't even just jokes about being gay, but like things just started to like flush, you know, flood open.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The floodgates open.
The floodgates.
Yeah. Yeah,
I wish that I had just like, I need like an index of figures of speech. Is that what they're called?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
You could put that on there.
Figure of speech,
yeah.
Floodgates open.
Adages.
So much money, it came out of my butt, or whatever you said.
right.
poop money. Yeah, I need adages.
Money shitter.
Money shitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Things just started flowing again. And it was the exact same lesson of like, you know, that what made me strong as a comic in the beginning, which was like being honest and open, especially in the face of like these things that used to embarrass me
yeah.
and turning them into things that I felt empowered by. And like that being really like, to me, that is sort of the motor or like whether I'm writing for TV or I'm acting in a thing or I'm doing stand up, like the deeper thing for me is getting a kick out of that.
Yeah. Does this work? Is it funny? Like when this flow
yeah, well,
starts happening?
Yeah, well, in the beginning, I
like,
was kind of nervous.
Do you get funnier all of a sudden? Or
It wasn't like immediate. What it was like I had to also be comfortable with it because
yeah.
there was this, you can posture like you're comfortable, but they can smell it, you know?
Right.
And if I'm present, I'm like, if I'm, my opening.
I'm out.
And you know, those like, and this is a different era of comedy, but like at that time, it's sort of like, so, man, then I'm gay, you know, it's like, it's something that you're almost like apologetically
yeah.
writing a joke around to reveal this thing about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then.
No, I think when the first time I saw you do stand up, I wasn't making any assumptions about you. And the way that you let everyone know you were gay is that you'd made just a casual mention of your wife.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is like such and that's like time. That's me changing and society changing.
Yes.
But the more comfortable I got about it, the more comfortable the audience got
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it still feels new and different because my son, I have an 18-year-old son who's gay. And,
yeah.
And whenever I mention like if I tweet about I'm at breakfast with my son and his boyfriend, I get so much congratulations.
Yeah.
But it's – and I feel weird
yeah.
like getting congratulated for something that's just as normal as –
I think that's
as,
like just society overcorrecting. I actually just wrote someone someone reached out and said some like a nice thing about the show and they were like, my kid just came out and I said congratulations. I think it's like a nice
yeah,
way
yeah.
of like redefining what that means.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't mean they say congratulations that your son is gay. They say it's so great that you just talk about your son
yeah.
and his boyfriend. And it's like, well, what else would I? I mean, and
yeah,
I know what else
good,
I would do.
Your brain isn't filled with
yeah.
poo-cunkly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's been gay forever. He came out to us when he was 11. And,
yeah,
you know,
great. What a cool world.
It was, no, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's, he has to be, I think, sometimes reminded how lucky that is, not by me so much, but by gay friends and mm-hmm. like, and people in his life will let him know, like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And also it's,
well,
and
I think the
it's
gay
also
community,
situational to this, to, you know, metropolitan areas too.
Yeah. This is reminding me something that I also should hold myself to, but like, we can't forget how much the older generation did. And there's like so much baggage. I mean, like the stereotypes around lesbians being like bitter and angry. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I mean, like they were fucking considered witches, you know,
yeah,
like they
yeah.
were. And I noticed too, when I started going out, what I started to do when I was traveling I would always ask about a gay bar and check it out. And the smaller the town, the more people will pierce themselves and make themselves look like, you know, if it's this thing of like, if you think that I don't belong in society, well, I'm going to show you that I'm outside of society.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to accept me because I reject you before you get a chance to accept me.
Yeah.
Or to reject
I did an Olivia cruise. Hold your applause, everybody. It's a lesbian cruise ship.
It's Olivia Newton-John's.
I did a couple shows on it, in the theater of the ship. And, I met this woman that was like, I could tell also just the vibe, there is this vibe between the generations that is like kind of, it makes sense because it's like, I think the older generation of gay people are like, we did all this shit for you.
Yeah.
Acknowledge us, you know,
absolutely.
Like don't be embarrassed of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have different style. Like we have baggage from this.
Yeah, we're old. We're dorks.
Yeah.
You know? But
yes.
We're like pioneer dorks,
yes.
You know?
Fucking talk to us.
Yeah.
And I love Provincetown. I love Fire Island. I love connecting with older gay people. But I think that we need to remember as like as the young generation to do that.
Yes.
Because that's also the generation of people that don't have connections with their family.
Yeah.
That kind of risked it all and lost it all. But one lady I introduced Shauna to, and I said, this is my wife, Shauna. And her response was like, oh, your wife. Do you hear that? Her wife. Oh, so do you own her? In my day, we wouldn't say wife. And I'm like, well, you'll just never be happy.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Like, what will make you happy?
Right.
But that's, you know.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, what do you want?
Yeah, some people are just going to be angry.
Well, yeah.
But it comes
did
from.
Did you tell her I spell it W-Y-F-E?
I said, I bought her fair and square at the market. At the farmer's market.
This is my chattel.
I gave 3 cows and an egg.
No.
And I will not be challenged.
3 cows, forget it. How about I throw in an egg? She's yours.
Shauna, get my cigar. I want to put it through this hole a couple times. See if a brown mouse comes out. Get him to shine my shoes.
Well, that's the carnival for you. That's the old farmer's market.
All right. We're going to do this charity one day, and we'll give the money to old gay people.
Right.
Are
old
you
gay
old?
People.
Are you gay? Come get some money.
to get them to dress better so the young gays will treat them better.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
I've mentioned this before on the show, but it's always
to get them to dress better.
I've mentioned this before on the show, but like I would bring in my son's prom pictures, you know, like, cause he just, you know, they're just, it's so sweet. And he and his boyfriend have just such a wonderful relationship. And I'd bring it in and I'd show it like to some of the gay men that are here who are, you know, my approximately
to show them,
my
like,
age.
Isn't this incredible?
Yeah. Like, well, just the way you'd show any of your kids. My kid went to prom. Look at the prom pictures. Yeah. And I can tell it's such a bittersweet thing for them. Like they're so happy to see it, but they're also kind of like, shit. Like I never got to have
that. I think
that.
There's also that with like older gay comics too.
Yeah.
It's like I never.
Scott
I mean,
Thompson was on this show talking exactly
that's
about
exactly
all this
who
kind
I was
of
thinking
stuff.
About because I was talking to him a couple of years ago at Just for Laughs and he's like, I still can't hold a man's hand on the street. And it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. But don't you think he can?
He can. Well, no, he needs to do ayahuasca.
Oh.
I'm not saying like he can't. I'm saying
he
can't.
He doesn't feel comfortable
exactly.
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah, poor guy.
Sad. Anyway. But we, you know what? We fixed it on the podcast.
You did?
You talked to him a couple of years ago. But the listen to the three questions with Scott Thompson. I fixed him.
I fixed him. He's dating a lovely woman in Miami named Sheila.
No. He's holding hands with fellas all the time now. Yeah, absolutely. Strangers. They're like, please, sir, let go.
Oh, that should be the name of your other podcast. We fixed him on the podcast. Fix me. Fix me.
You're not broken.
That's what you know what?
Yeah, you're Jesus Christ.
I would have been so pissed if you were like, well, first of all,
No, Jesus Christ. You come fully prepared.
Yes.
Fully you're a well-cooked egg.
You know, I lost an egg when I bought my wife.
Oh, really? Still mad about it. Oh, if just the cows weren't enough. Was it cows? It was cows.
It was two cows, one egg, and arugula.
Keeps getting more.
Bundle of arugula.
The story keeps changing. You're trying. This is for insurance purposes. You're trying to raise her value. Oh, no. Yeah, an arugula, too. Yeah, yeah. And a turnip. Pound of grain. I don't know what grain kind of grain.
Oh, the expensive kind, okay? Yeah, it was organic.
So how long were you together with your wife before you decided to
3 days
have a baby?
3 days, and I suggest it.
Really?
Oh, no, we were together. I met her, and I was immediately like, I want you, please. Can I have you? Can I have you? So I guess I am a bit of a pop star. But she, I saw her dancing.
Jesus Christ. Yes. Well, I think she may be insane.
I arranged a flash mob around the song, and everyone really hit their marks.
Wow.
I want you, please. Can I have you? We were all moonwalking. No, I like tried to talk to her for so long and then finally did. And anyway, we were together. We've been together for 10 and a half years. We were together. We just had our baby a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And we were together for about 3.5 years before we got married.
Oh, wow. Now, yeah. Did you always have an idea when you got married that you would want to have kids?
Yeah, we always, like, she had a dream, like, 6 months into dating that our kid's name was Wolfie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I was like, cool. My mom's going to be pissed, but I'm a grown up now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm a big girl.
Yeah. Did you, were
just
there...
ask it, Andy.
Well, no, I mean, because I do want to, it's so weird to say, like, how'd your life change after you had a kid? Because I know how to change, but I mean.
Well, when you say it like that, then I'm going to feel stupid
well,
answering it.
Well, I know,
it.
But that's why
well,
that's what I was trying to do.
Earlier.
I was trying to think of a clever way to ask it. And
can,
I, and
can
you,
I pitch one?
Yeah,
can
of course. One? Sure.
So.
Well, no, not see right now, right off the bat.
You said clever.
That's not clever. That's like society lady. I saw
when
your
the
like,
kids come
your
up
opera
popping,
glasses.
What goes a rockin'? What changed is that. Well, one unexpected.
What changed in you, maybe? Maybe
what
that's...
changed in me is I grew up especially because of my parents' different faith, and then this, like, you know.
Do you practice one or the
no,
other?
No, I practice zero of yeah. the zero. I practiced zero of the zero. And now that with the baby and just like the way the baby came into our lives and just like the flow and the how beautiful he is and how big the love is, I feel more spiritual. And I don't connect it to any brand name. But like I think that my parents, because of their story, very much I grew up with this messaging of like, you do not have to be religious. And in fact, let's be real.
Okay? Yeah.
There's no Santa Claus God that's sending you to the fiery hell of the, you know, you be a good person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I liked that. But I think that there was all, you know, I had a very sort of like, my guard would go up if someone talked spiritually.
Mm.
Because I was like, that's I don't want to be a part of your cult. And now
I feel that way.
Do not bring me into your cult. But at the same time, I feel now like, oh, like what you're talking about is the universe. And I also feel like I like to meditate. I like with Wolfie in the world, I recognize the impact that I make on him.
Yeah.
And I've like started to go to therapy just to, cause I always thought, I've always suggested therapy to people and then they'd be like, oh, so how long have you been in therapy? And I'd be like, oh no, I'm perfect.
Yeah.
Like for you, like you seem like you're going through something.
You do that shit a lot. Hey, Patty, go to Vietnam.
Totally. It's a Jalisi thing. It's like, hey, Andy, buy 25 payphones.
You should try being a vegan.
For me.
Yeah.
I am very, my wife can attest. I know what's best. Jalisi
for everybody, and you don't do it yourself.
No, well, I am now, because now that I'm in therapy, I am doing it myself.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm not defensive.
Obviously. Anyone who would say that you're defensive is a fucking lunatic.
Fucking idiot.
Idiot. Well,
I didn't finish. I've got 8 or 9 more paragraphs
Jesus
that I wrote
Christ.
Down for this.
Go ahead, please.
Having a baby has changed
That's
me.
That's her papers.
In what ways, you ask? Many.
All the eyes have hearts on them.
I do feel like every morning I feel like it's like a little bit Christmas vibes where I get like getting him from the crib is just so exciting. And I just love that. And I feel so grateful too. Like this is what we were, this part belongs in the first part.
Okay.
So if you were listening to the first part, like just fast forward to right here.
Okay.
Okay. That having him in daycare, having sitters, having Shauna to share the load with, it allows both of us to be like much more present and happy parents. Mm-hmm. So I feel grateful that I get to see him just enough of the amount of time to be like fully his parent and all that, and also be by myself enough time to like actually be genuinely so excited to spend time with him.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful luxury. That
it's a luxurious.
Yeah, that not. I mean, no, it's true. It's like it's not, and it's not just a financial thing or whatever. It just because a lot of people can make that work with. You know, extended family in different ways.
But it is financial for sure. Like there is something.
Oh, there's definitely that aspect. But I mean, if you, there is certainly too much childcare, you know, like beyond a certain age. I mean, when they're infants, but there is like, you do need to do something other than just take care of children or it's not, it's,
and not just,
it's,
and not just when you have a thing to do, not just like, oh, cause I've got to go.
Yeah.
To this work thing or whatever, just like having also just someone helping you with the kids so that you can think if you can, this sounds also like now that we've mentioned luxury, really like privileged, but I'm grateful for that. And if you also, I think if you're considering having a baby, it's, I think also worth it to like one part that's like really great about women having babies later in their lives is that they are a little bit more financially sound. And so they can afford to keep their identity intact.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, we're hitting the time here.
Here's what you should do, Andy. Here's what you should do, Andy.
Yeah, go ahead.
After this podcast.
I'm ready.
Pop up your Redfin. Buy a place in, Altadena.
Right? Okay. All right.
You're going to want a big property with a tiny house on it.
Okay? All right.
You know, rent that out for a couple of years.
How about just like maybe a stump that's hollowed out?
Honey. That was going to be my next suggestion. That's my next suggestion.
I'm a real estate psychic when it comes to fantasy real estate.
Hollow out a stump.
Okay.
Put a couple blocks of cheese in it.
Sure, sure.
Light that on fire.
Okay.
You got yourself a dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, woodsy fondue.
Here's what you do, Andy.
Woodsy fondue. That's an excellent name.
Woodsy fondue.
Oh,
open
boy.
It up. Yeah. I want 3 locations by the end of the fiscal year.
Welcome to woodsy fondue. Fiscal. Be careful of the pine needles.
And also something about computer anal.
Yes, also. Well, let's get to the where are you going. What's your aspirations?
Yeah, the hell out of here.
Oh, well, that's going to happen pretty
I think you've
fucking soon.
Around in my life sufficiently, Mr. Richter.
Listen, whatever.
Where am I going? First, I...
More kids?
What if I just stop talking? I think we will have more kids, but we're having so much fun with one. I just like today I talked to my brother about my parents and it reminded me of like, oh, we have to give Wolfie someone to talk shit to about us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like such a useful thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But and at the same time, right, do we have to? I don't know.
Give it some. You're right also to
maybe
give
we'll
it some
maybe we'll just hire someone to like and like keep on checking in with them over the ages about right. how annoying we are right. so that then he can just like call that person and be like, oh, it's happening again. The thing from 2002.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's talking about 2002. Something you have to know about Wolfie is he's obsessed with the aughts.
Well, you know,
Spice
if you
Girl songs is all he sings. but I think we'll probably adopt for the next one.
Oh, nice.
Because
or just you're already probably at the park. Just grab one.
Andy.
Oh.
That's kidnapping.
Oh, yeah, right. That's
Andy.
You know what? I have made that mistake before and I just never, it's like, you know, it slips my mind.
You know what? Give me those photos of your son again.
Okay.
Because it looks strikingly familiar to a child that my wife and I lost in 2002.
Lost. We didn't notice for 2 weeks.
I didn't bother mentioning it earlier because I'm trying to get back to me.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You have a kid and it's all about them.
I know, I know.
So many of the questions. Well, what's Wolfie up to? How does that change? Yeah. It's like, what about me?
What about me?
I'm getting a haircut soon.
Wow. Okay. You are profound. I'm changing my hair.
You know what? Just spoon me, bro. This is a real fun cartoonish time.
I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm having
grounded
fun too.
Grounded cartoons.
It's nice. All right. So now forget about the goddamn kid.
Okay, where
kid.
Am I going?
What's
forget
up
about
with,
the goddamn
where are you going?
Kid. Where are we going? Where am I going? I'm going where we going. Because guess what? I love my wife.
Okay.
Can you time code that and send it to my wife?
Absolutely.
And then where are we going? Where am I going? Oh, I would like to have a production company one day. I'd like to like create shows.
Yeah.
I'd like to write a movie. I'd like to I'd like to have a production company where I, you know, use my keys that I acquire over the years. I'm going to a place where I get keys to open doors. I'd like to open the doors and fill all the rooms with rascals.
Yeah. At this point, like, between acting and stand-up.
I have like 52 reviews on my podcast, The Goody Goody.
Please, please, just do this.
Please
just for my sake.
Do it.
Get up there.
It takes no time at all.
Pause this. Go review the fucking thing and
the
then come back and we'll finish
Thank
up.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I'll be advertising something at the end of the show. You want to hear that. No, but like between acting and stand-up now, do you feel like you're always going to do stand-up or if you start
don't you feel
movies
like
and stuff?
It's like within the fluidity of life. It's like whatever's coming your way is like, what a cool opportunity. Like I got this job acting on this CBS sitcom, Carol's Second Act, Thursdays at 9:30 p.m.
I got that.
It's such a fun, cool show. I got it from being in a writer's room with the creators the year before. And
oh,
they were
wow.
like, come, I was writing on Big Mouth. They were like, take a day off and come audition. And I was like, cool, I'll go get snacks in that room.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden now I'm like in a show with Patty Heaton and Kyle
Are
McLaughlin.
You a regular?
Yeah,
you,
I'm on every single fucking episode.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, you got
to come to a taping.
You just planted a money tree in your yard.
Well, yeah, because now the show aired last night and now it got people are watching it.
That's
so it's
what's
like,
called a bona fide hit.
Yes, baby.
Oh my God. You can become such a fucking prick now.
I'm going to be such a dick.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Fuck all you people.
I'm not signing a release.
I'm not signing a fucking release.
Yeah. This has been a waste of everyone's time.
You fucking losers. Bet you don't even know acting's listening. I did get so I'm not very experienced as an actor. I know that that's shocking, but I'm not. And my first note that Pam told me the director was like, okay, Sabrina, cool. Like after you say your line, just remember that you're still in the scene. So like you still need to like make your face like there. Cause I would like say I'd be like,
and then just,
I don't know, maybe we should go for coffee. And then I would just, I'd be like, oh, there's a new snack. Like I just be like on my phone.
Mouthing
but
the other
acting
person's
is listening.
Line.
And then I was watching the show last night and I'm like, oh shit, I got to do better, more listening faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, what is listening face? It's the face you're giving me right now. But it's so, as soon as you become conscious of what listening face is, your eyebrows furrow and you go like this.
Yeah.
And then all of your reaction shots are like, someone putting light in her eyes.
Yeah. 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 No, that is true. It's like when you, I always notice it in like my daughter's junior high productions. Mm-hmm. The dividing line is the kids that act while they're not talking.
Okay, so, most okay, of the so kids Andy, just, basically you're calling me a fucking junior high actor?
No, I'm saying
Andy?
You, yeah, no, you were when you went in there, but now you're like 11th grade.
Oh my God, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Hit show. All right. And hit on a hit show and in 11th grade? Wow.
I'm going to retattoo my 34 and turn it into two ones because I don't understand how grades relate to age, baby.
All right. All right.
Thick ones.
We got the third question. That's the what have you learned? Like, you
I
know.
Can't believe we blessed. We just talked so much about bamboozlers. And okay. This is the way it goes.
All we got to do is fill an hour-ish.
Okay.
You know,
cool.
It does, okay. The questions are all bullshit anyway.
Yeah. It's no just, one's listening to this being like, she didn't spend enough time on question three.
In the beginning, they were.
And she called her wife her wife.
Who does she think she is?
I'm taking back my review. What have I learned?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to point back to time code 2250. I'd like to point back to time code 336.
Where you've been telling us all along?
As I talk, I memorize time codes, and I also account for editing.
Right, of course. Very helpful.
And ads.
Very, very helpful.
That's just like, I should have mentioned that's like also a trick that I do. That's why I don't know adages.
Right.
You
can't remember phrases
code.
Because you're yeah, full still, of numbers.
Here
and
we are at 63.
Numbers and plugs and callbacks.
Yeah. So what I've learned is that being yourself and being honest with yourself and being open about who you are is the number one best thing that you can do. And even though it seems like a weakness, even though it has attacks because some people can judge you, you can lose your fam for a bit. The strength that you have when everything kind of the dust settles, those relationships are so much stronger that you have, and you don't have to spend your life all that energy pretending to be someone else. Take yeah. off the butterfly beret, stop pounding the bronzer, or put it on and pound
if
bronzer,
what
whatever it is
yeah.
that makes you feel really good. Because also just like even like this job is like such an insane, I feel like a contest winner on set. I'm like, I'm so lucky. And the way I got it was from being myself. I used to like, you know, really, I was so conscious of like trying to be this castable woman because that was like the parts that I saw. And it wasn't until I started thinking like, I'm just going to be me and write parts for me. And that's how I'll get cast.
Yeah.
That people were like, she's castable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Nice scam you got going.
I got
there.
A little scam. Where's the ball?
Write parts for myself.
And the biggest scam part of it is that I'm actually very femme. I just noticed a trend.
That's right. Yes, she said that a butterfly barrette just sprouted out of her head, right out of her skull.
It was under my hair all along.
Sproing. Well, no, I think that is, I mean, being.
The butterfly winks at you.
Hi.
Hi.
We fooled
my
you.
My name's Pompey.
Oh, well, I'm not going to say anything. I was going to, you know, say something.
Rude?
Philosophical,
I
you
say
know.
It. Why?
Well, no, I just, because it is true that, I mean, I'm 52 and there is so much, and I talked about this actually with Scott, like I spent so much time being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I spent so much time like living for other people mm-hmm. and stuff. And it really is like the main thing, I mean, I guess everything happens when it's supposed to happen. But the main thing is that really you just, being agnostic mm-hmm. and not believing in some sort of afterlife or something, I think really actually puts more pressure on your life. Or not necessarily yeah. pressure, but just it there's a clock that's going yeah. and that you got to really kind of – you got to figure out –
You only got one shot.
Yeah.
Lose you yourself
gotta
to be, the music.
And so you got to get to where you're going to just – enjoy mm-hmm. the passing of time as mm-hmm. quickly as you can. Because
and it's so easy as humans, I think, because we are all like, we are actually all attached and linked in cells and all of that. It's so easy for us to get bamboozled into thinking that our ball is under the same cup that other people's balls are.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Wow.
If I might dance around language for a while.
That's so...
If I might make all of your nipples erect.
This is like... Sabrina Jalice, the callback.
Well, Sabrina Jalice, Jalice. Sabrina Jalice, Jalice.
Sabrina.
East.
Jeez.
But that, you know, it's easy, especially like with our careers. It's like there's sometimes when you're trying to grasp onto like what it is that's going to make you a thing or whatever, you'll look at what makes other people a thing and the way other people do things. And then you look back at all the stuff that really meant something.
Yeah.
And it was all like you could never have predicted other than you being in your power.
Yeah.
Like feeling like strong in what you're doing, which was all about you being so you.
Yeah.
It was never because you emulated what, you know, your friend that got a talk show did.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much. This has really been.
Thank you, Andy, for fixing me.
It's really been, well, it's what I do. Sorry the wrench was cold.
You know what? I actually prefer a cold wrench.
Oh, that's good.
But the hammer was a little hot.
Yeah. Well, I like to heat up the hammer.
The branding iron was tepid. I mean, I didn't even get a good scar in.
Well, that's because I don't want to leave evidence for the cops.
Ooh.
Well, folks. Sabrina.
That's my name.
You can see her in the CBS sitcom Carol's Second Act. You said Thursdays at 9:30.
That's right. Multicam set in a hospital with really cool people and also me, baby.
And it's a bona fide hit.
Boner fire.
She also hosts the weekly podcast, The Goody Goody, with Sabrina Jalice. She needs those goddamn reviews, people.
I need at least 3 reviews or I am ending it.
Or I'm quitting my network
show. Where am
show.
I going? Fucking not. I'm going to the afterlife.
All right. Well, this was great. Thank you so much.
I'm and sorry good luck to I you. Was too real.
No.
You were sorry for being too real, Andy.
She said in the biggest phony voice in the world. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
And thank you all out there for listening. And we will see you. It's a podcast. You'll hear us next time on The Three Questions.
The Three Questions with Andy Richter is a Team Coco and Earwolf production. It's produced by me, Kevin Bartelt, executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Chris Bannon and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, associate produced by Jen Samples and Galit Sahayak, and engineered by Will Beckton. And if you haven't already, make sure to rate and review The Three Questions with Andy Richter on Apple Podcasts.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.